You're listening to episode 53 of the FitzPro podcast, and today is a special day because it is January 7th, 2020, and that is the day that Nate and I are starting our second round of world travels, which is kind of what today's podcast episode is all about, our life update currently, and that is going to include a lot about world travels because that is going to be our life in 2020. So, not a lot of value probably in today's episode for you, not a lot of takeaways or direct takeaways, but if you care about me or our personal life, Nate and my travels, then you are going to enjoy today's episode. We're going to dive into the itinerary and some of that planning, and as well as what Nate does in all of this. So it's kind of a behind the scenes episode. If that is going to be for you, then without further ado, let's dive in. The FitzPro podcast is your no BS approach to seeking out truth in the world that is online health and fitness. You'll see through the lens of the trainer, the trainee, and the entrepreneur. I'm your host, Annie Miller, certified strength and conditioning specialist, entrepreneur, lover of sleep, lattes, and dinosaurs, aka not your average FitzPro. And my aim is to help you grow your mind, body, and business through knowledge and authenticity so that you too can become a FitzPro. Today is the first podcast episode of 2020, and at the date that you're listening to this, Nate and I are likely aboard a plane to Mexico City, which is our first location of many on round two of world travels. Now, I realize I titled this podcast episode quote-unquote life update and travel itinerary, but it's going to feel like a travel podcast simply because that's the bulk of our life in 2020. We will also talk kids, work-life balance, and what Nate does into all of this in our life, in me working and him kind of being the support system for me. For those of you that don't know, Nate or Nathaniel is my husband of 6.5 years now. So today you will for sure get our travel itinerary as much as we have planned anyway, and our plan for coming home between our travel bouts, because no, this time we are not traveling for a year straight. That was the goal the first time around, to travel the world for 365 days. We did it for 367, but this time around, we're being more picky and strategic with our travel. So you will get a good taste of that today. Here we go. Let's dive into some life topics and updates. First, if you're not following at Meandering Millers on Instagram, make sure that you do so. I will be saving IG stories there for each location. So like there'll be a little highlight for Mexico City and then Santa Marta, Colombia, and so on. And then also make sure that you join my mailing list at www.anniemiller.co/news for Annie's weekly wrap, which includes a recap of Instagram, travel blogs, podcasts, and basically anything that I am into right now, current brands I support. It's the weekly wrap. So an update of where I'm at, what's happening on social media, things I support, and so on. That's www.anniemiller.co/news. And of course, you can sign up on almost any page of my website for that. Okay, now let's actually get into the travel. So 2020 travel itinerary. We shall start off with the fun stuff, which is our 2020 travel plans and some details within that. As I stated, we are starting off with 2 weeks in Mexico City. Why Mexico City? It's a bustling city with over 20 million residents because it was on our list the last time and we didn't go there. Their food is amazing from what we have read in blogs and seen on YouTube food channels. It's a bang for your buck location and we wanted to work our way down to Patagonia so that we could be in Patagonia in February and or March. That was kind of the plan. So we were looking for places where we could start higher up in Central and South America and kind of work our way down south to Patagonia. January is peak season in Patagonia, and we wanted to avoid that as much as possible. Although it will still be busy when we're there, because Patagonia, especially the southernmost regions, have a rather short season for visiting. So no matter what, there's probably going to be people there, but we didn't want to be there in like high peak season. It just made sense for us to start in Mexico City. We also want to see the ruins and pyramids near Mexico City. That was on our list, so we will be able to check that off. And Nate made sure that we're staying in a quote unquote hipster or nomadic neighborhood. It's a very safe neighborhood. There's a lot of restaurants and cafes and things like that. So a lot of people think, you know, we're going to Medellin in Mexico City, and people are like, oh my gosh, that's so dangerous. And LA can be dangerous. Portland, Oregon can be dangerous, right? So we kind of live by don't be an idiot, be smart, search for safe neighborhoods and things like that. Don't stay out after, you know, 10 p.m. Basically, we are staying in the safest neighborhood with the most food options. Those are things that we like to look for. For those of you who don't know, food is a huge motivator for our travels and especially for our Airbnb or accommodation choices and their locations. We want to be near food that we can walk to easily and that are, you know, have good reviews. We also made sure to get an apartment with a gym in it for our first location because we wanted the transition to world travel to be as smooth as possible, and having access to a gym and not having to find one and figure it out, you know, week by week or day passes or week passes helps that process a lot. Of course, all of our locations won't have a gym, but it is nice to kind of have a smooth transition as much as possible into world travels. So after 2 weeks in Mexico City, eating all of the tacos for 80 cents, we will head to Santa Marta, Colombia for 1 week. Last round, again, we were actually deciding between Santa Marta, Colombia, and Rio de Janeiro, Brazil for our last month-long stay in South America. We ended up choosing Rio and absolutely loved every second of it. We would love to go back there and visit again in the future if the political situation is stable and safe. That is something we have to look into for most South American locations. So Santa Marta is a small coastal town just east of Cartagena. I don't know how to say that, but it's another colonial town to the west of Santa Marta, on the north coast of Colombia, if you will. So it's less touristy and more laid back, and that's kind of the vibe that we wanted. We didn't want a super touristy location. And last time around, we chose Rio de Janeiro for the versatility and the access to fast Wi-Fi. When we were researching Santa Marta, the Wi-Fi kept being an issue in the blogs that we were reading, and that just didn't work, you know, as I needed that for my work. Fast Wi-Fi, or at least decent Wi-Fi, and it seemed to be pretty spotty in Santa Marta. So that is why we will spend 7 days in Santa Marta. That's enough time to enjoy the Colombian beaches and get up to the national park that they have there that's absolutely gorgeous, which I am the most excited for. Nate and I definitely lean towards natural beauty over cities, I would say. So again, we're just working our way from Mexico City down to Patagonia and just kind of checking some places off as we do that. And it'll be nice to get a little beach vacation in there. Then we have a short flight to Medellin. This is another one that has been on my list for a long time. It's called the Land of Eternal Spring. The weather is amazing. It's surrounded by green hills, and that is just super appealing to me. So Medellin is obviously known for its history with drugs and narcotics, of course, Pablo Escobar. But for at least 10 to 20 years now, it's been on the ups and is a thriving metropolis, you know, from the research that we've done anyway, and people that we know who have been there. So like any city, there are going to be safe and not so safe areas. Nate and I like to be inside by 9 p.m. anyway, and we have found that anytime we didn't feel safe somewhere, it was after 10 or 11 p.m. when it was dark, less lit, less people out. There's just a different vibe at that time, and it's not one that we are personally fans of. So anyway, Medellin is called the Land of Eternal Spring, like I said, because of its temperate climate. It has the greenery all around it, and I'm super stoked to stay there for almost 2 weeks. Again, Nate booked an Airbnb in supposedly the safest neighborhood, and while we're there, we have no plan for Medellin. Just eat great food, probably look for some national parks or markets to visit, and kind of take that by ear, and we enjoy doing that. So Nate and I really like having places booked, but then kind of getting there and waking up each day like, what do we want to do today? And going to do that. We'll meet people often and then they'll tell us, oh my gosh, you have to go to this place or whatever. So we like to leave room for that adventure in our plans. After Medellin, the real fun begins. We head south to La Paz, Bolivia. So now we're about 5 weeks into the trip, just so that you're keeping track. We went to Mexico City, Santa Marta, and Medellin. On to La Paz. Now, we have no interest in La Paz itself. Bolivia in general is one of the poorest countries in all of South America, which is not a reason to not visit it. But it can be pretty sketchy from what we have heard and read. I'm sure that it will be fine and it will be great. And it's actually rather expensive and cumbersome to get a visa as a US citizen. So, you know, you're probably thinking, why the heck are you going? We're going for the salt flats. So we literally fly into La Paz. We stay there for 3 full days just to acclimate to the 12,000 foot elevation. I don't feel elevation changes like Nate does, but this is pretty typical for larger humans with more muscle mass, which needs more oxygen, hashtag science. Smaller humans, you know, like myself, and who are as fit as larger humans will typically feel better in comparison to those larger humans at higher elevations. That's just, you know, simply because we have less demand for oxygen than the larger humans. Anyway, we are not doing any kind of hiking or anything in La Paz or in Uyuni at the salt flats, but it will be nice to just chill for a few days before getting on a puddle jumper over to Uyuni, which is where the salt flats are. We're only staying 2 nights, 1 full day here in Uyuni at the salt flats because we want to see the salt flats and get the heck out of there. No need to be there, you know, for a 3-day tour. That didn't sound like it was for us. We did some pretty extensive research on that. It's simply a bucket list thing for me, and Nate actually hates deserts and places without greenery. So that was a good compromise. We'll get to go. I'll get to see the salt flats 1 day and then we get the heck out. So after our 1 day in Uyuni for the salt flat tour, which we've already booked, we head back to La Paz, and literally the following day we fly out to Bariloche, which is where we begin our 22-day Patagonia road trip. I will not take you through the entire Patagonia road trip itinerary, but I will give you just kind of the rough outline of that and how many full days we are staying. Like I said, 22. So it's a lot to handle. I'm sure I will be doing a blog post with all of the details once we do it, but I don't like to do blog posts until it's completed and I can actually reflect on the trip and give you guys do's and don'ts and things like that. So I cannot even express how insanely excited I am for this portion of the trip. A lot of our travels were planned around the Patagonia road trip and this type of adventure that we're going on. So we start with 3 full days in Bariloche. We will pick up the car, get an old school road map, and draw out our route from our Google Maps route that we have, as well as, you know, probably ask the rental company about certain roads. A lot of the roads in Patagonia are not upkept or maintained, so we need to know which ones are so that we don't end up, you know, 40 miles down a road that ends or becomes dirt or whatever. So we will definitely be drawing out our map on an actual old school map, paper map, because service and navigation down there is terrible as well. So we begin on February 16th. So just so you kind of have that, we left home on January 7th and we will be starting our road trip in Patagonia on February 16th. So in Bariloche, we'll get the car, get the old school map, map it out. Then we head down through, I think, 4 or 5 towns. Esquel is one of them. We'll go to Chili Chico before we end up in Lake Pijo, which is what I was most excited for. Yes, we will obviously do the national parks and Torres del Paine and all of that, but we will be staying in the middle of Pijo Lake. Nate and I pick and choose when to go all in and splurge on an accommodation and when to hold back and get a mediocre place, you know, that has Wi-Fi, it has a bed, it has a shower. So Pijo Lake doesn't have many accommodations and it's a very large gap from low to high-end places. So we're talking camping outside to thousands of dollars a night to stay in an all-glass eco lodge in the middle of Patagonia, and there's not much in between those two options. For our place, you have to park on the lake edge and then walk across a footbridge to get to the hotel, which is literally sitting in the middle of Pijo Lake with the freaking mountains as the backdrop. I have no words. I am so stoked for that experience. So that's kind of what I mean by some places we just stay, it has a bed, it has Wi-Fi, there's no terrible reviews, and then other times we splurge based on the experience that we want to have somewhere. So then the trip starts back towards Bariloche. That will be another 4 or 5 stops up the east coast of Argentina before we cut back across west towards Bariloche. I like numbers and I don't give a crap about sharing them. So with the car and all accommodations for 2 humans, it is just over $5,000 for almost a month in Patagonia. So again, we will get there early to Bariloche and then we'll stay a few days after in Bariloche. So I think it's 27 days total. And that came to $5,000, just over $5,000 for all accommodations and the car. That obviously doesn't include our food yet or gas. I will update that, I'm sure, in a blog post. But after Patagonia, we have 4 full days in Buenos Aires, which will likely be used to eat amazing meats. That's on the list. That's about it. And then catch up on work for me, because the lack of service just itself in Patagonia and the kind of the weight of that road trip. There's a lot of unknowns there. There's a lot of hiking there. There's a lot of not good Wi-Fi there. I probably won't work a lot in that. So don't plan on doing a lot of work during the road trip. And Buenos Aires will be kind of my work rest mode after that trip. Then we are officially out of the Americas after Buenos Aires on March 14th, basically a month later from when we arrived in Bariloche. We will cross the big water to visit a friend in Melbourne, Australia. We met him during our time in Peru last time around, and he came to visit us actually when we were in Rio de Janeiro. So this time we're stopping by his motherland for a week. We do not have plans there. We basically just want to hang out, see him, walk around the city. I also will likely do some prep work while in Melbourne, since after our week there, we fly to Japan for another 22-day road trip. So Buenos Aires and Melbourne will definitely be my work periods for a bit. Like Patagonia, I will spare you the tiresome details, but here is a general itinerary for Japan. We will fly from Melbourne to Tokyo. We'll have 3 days in Tokyo. This will be for working and seeing a bit of Tokyo. Neither of us are like overly excited to see it. It's kind of like, let's check it off the list. We will pick up the car and then head to our first location. We will be heading north first, and then make our way west to Hiroshima. And that's the furthest west that we will go before heading back east to Tokyo. We really want to go way up north and down to Okinawa someday. So kind of the extreme ends of Japan. But this time it just would have either been too fast or it would have taken too long this time around to do that. So a huge difference in the Japanese road trip is going to be the length of the drive. So we have much longer drives in Patagonia, like 7 to 9 hours. Whereas in Japan, they're from like 2 to 5.5 is our longest drive. And that's a big difference when it comes to how taxing the actual travel feels. And we know that from all of the road trips that we have taken around the States and from our last travels, you know, the 6-week road trip through Europe. I know it's a total first world problem, but it is a thing nonetheless to consider when planning this. So, you know, they're both 22 days, but the drives in Japan are much shorter than the drives that we're going to have in Patagonia, and the drives in Japan will likely be a lot more comfortable than the ones that we will have in Patagonia. So I'm thinking we will feel very different after those 2 road trips. So we start and end the road trip in Tokyo. After 27 days in Japan, we fly back to the southern hemisphere for another road trip. I know, I like get kind of stressed when I'm saying this. This time it will be through the country of New Zealand. We are doing both the North and the South Islands. It's gonna be mid-April by this point, just to keep things and seasons in perspective. So it will be fall in New Zealand because we will be in the southern hemisphere. We are renting a camper van and trying to see literally everything that we can as far as the natural beauty goes in New Zealand. We must remember I still have a job, right? I am still working. So we may still rent a few Airbnbs along the way, or at least on the start and the end of the trip. That is not yet solidified. We don't have any of that booked. I foresee a decent amount of time in cafes for Wi-Fi and working, if anything. I don't know if the camper vans have Wi-Fi in them. I know that we're looking at a very nice one, so I would hope that it has Wi-Fi, but I get it if it doesn't. So don't have the itinerary for that planned at this time, or at the time that I recorded the podcast. So we will be chasing all of the natural attractions. That's the goal in New Zealand, to see each natural beauty that New Zealand has to offer. It has been on both of our bucket lists for a very long time. And again, it was on the list last year, and we just didn't have time to get to it. Our itinerary didn't work out, so we'll be very excited to finally see the land that has been described as the Pacific Northwest on steroids. And if you don't know, Nate and I are from the Pacific Northwest, which is why we are very much so attracted to natural beauty. Now, we will leave New Zealand in mid-May, I think, but at the time of this recording, I don't know exactly where we will be headed. We may have an opportunity to go to Israel, and then we for sure want to visit South Africa and do a safari as well. So we almost chose South Africa last year as a place to live for a month, but the timing was never right for that, so it needs to be happening this time around. So between New Zealand and when we go home, there may be Israel, there may be South Africa, I'm not sure about any of that. But I will, of course, keep you guys updated, and then it's home. So we should be home in early June, we're thinking, just in time for summer and to avoid all of the tourists out and about in other areas of the world, which is exactly why we planned it this way. So we'll be home from June through part of September, and then take off in, you know, mid-September for Northern Europe. We covered 14 European countries last round, but didn't get up into the Scandinavian area. And we don't mind a cold and dark winter, and that's actually the plan. I need to be seeing the Northern Lights. This isn't completely planned and has a lot of room for alteration, but we'll do a stopover in Iceland, do a week-long road trip there, and then fly to Brussels, Belgium. And that's where we will lease a car for 4 months. We leased a car last time. It was super easy in Europe for September and October, I believe it was. And it was absolutely amazing experience. I highly suggest road trips if you like a good road trip. You just get to see so much more, and it's a way less stressful experience, in our opinion. There's no like having to pack up your bags. You can just kind of keep everything out. You don't have to catch a train at a certain time or a flight at a certain time. You don't have to be at the train station or airport early. So we love driving places if we can. I personally love the freedom of it all, but I know that some people hate driving and or that might stress them out. So we will pick up the lease car in Brussels, then drive to Denmark and up into Norway, then cross over into Sweden, maybe Finland, then down into Poland, Germany, across to Amsterdam to catch the ferry to Ireland, and spend a few weeks in Ireland and Scotland through the winter and Christmas, and then back to Brussels to drop off the car and head home probably after the new year, just because flights to and from the US between Christmas and the new year are absolutely disgusting. So we will wait until after the new year, likely, to fly home. The plan for that is to lease the car first and then fill in the dates for our travels for when we want to be where and make our route, basically just filling in the dates for as long as we have the car for. That trip will likely take us into the first week of 2021, and then we will be home and have no clue what the plan is after that, which kind of brings me to the last few subjects of babies, Nate's job, and work-life balance. So for babies, we don't want kids right now anyway. We don't hide that. We're not ashamed of it. We're pretty transparent about the whole thing. We also don't hate on people who choose to have kids, right? But for us, we're unsure. We're not, you know, Nate's not getting snipped, I'm not getting snipped, so we're not deliberately avoiding having children, but we are taking precautions to not get pregnant. And obviously that feels like a lot to share on a podcast, but we're both open books and it's not anything that people close to us don't already know. So like I said, we're unsure, so we lean towards not having them for now, obviously with our travels. Yes, plenty of people travel with kids. We've met a lot of people that travel with kids, but we also openly say that we are too selfish for kids right now, maybe forever. I don't feel called to have them necessarily, and I don't have the baby fever. Nate doesn't have the baby fever, and we are just enjoying our season of life right now. So I work online, coaching one-on-one clients, built by Annie, Fitzbro Foundations, and obviously blogging and podcasting. So what does Nate do with all of the time that someone that doesn't work does? And he does everything else. So when we are home, he planned everything I just laid out for you, right? That entire itinerary took hours and hours and weeks and months of researching visas and locations and seasonal timing and cars and safe neighborhoods and flights and anything else you could possibly think of, which he will continue doing as we travel. So like I said, we don't have New Zealand planned. We don't have possibly Israel or South Africa planned yet. We don't have anything planned for the second half of our 2020 travels in the Scandinavian countries. So he will continue doing that. He is like our full-time travel agent. He also plans the food, the restaurants, the activities we do. He will book, you know, seeing the pyramids and ruins in Mexico. He has all of the reservations stored for everything. I honestly know nothing. I mean, I make the spreadsheets, right, for him to basically track everything. So I know what's paid for, what needs to be paid for. I have our travel calendar that I create, and then we both fill in, you know, when we're going to be where. But he does the booking of everything and fills in the spreadsheets for me so that I can just see them. So he's like a full-time house husband slash travel agent, and I wouldn't have it any other way. He is an amazing cook, like so much better than I could ever be. And he loves nurturing people. People is his thing. When people, you know, are like, oh, he's not passionate about having a specific job. And it's like, Nate just loves people. So if he can be loving people, he's good to go, and I don't care if he's paid to do that or not because I can sustain us with my income. So some people question how we don't get sick of each other or want to rip each other's heads off while we are traveling. And to be truthful, I think not having small humans around, talking about babies, helps with that, right? Like, we don't have to consider another human or babies who are dependent on us while still nurturing a marriage. And we just genuinely like each other, like we're best friends. When I work, he's planning or researching or doing whatever he wants, and then we go adventure together or just hang out, and that's what works for us. And that brings me to kind of the last section, which is work-life balance, and that's something that is real when it comes to two people that are home together all the time, but also need to work. So I will also make a point that, like, I don't want to say that there's something wrong with your marriage or anything like that, but, you know, Nate doesn't work so we can spend more time together. He could have a job. There's no reason Nate couldn't have a job, right? But we literally just like each other a lot. Like, he's my best friend. And so for me, I couldn't travel the world with anybody else. Like, my sister would piss me off. I'd want to rip my best friend's head off. You know, like, you get annoyed with people when you're with them for such a long period of time. But when it's the person that you want to spend the rest of your life with, I just don't see, like, why you would get annoyed with them. I mean, to an extreme level, obviously. Like, there's times, of course, when Nate will, you know, go on a motorcycle ride by himself, or like we'll work out at different times just so we have some space, but that just comes down to simple communication for me. So anyway, wanted to make that point. Getting into work-life balance, I mentioned this in another podcast, but my work-life balance is better when we travel because by default, I don't have access to work whenever I want, wherever I want. While we're traveling, I am forced to be more intentional and efficient because I can only work when I have Wi-Fi. And then the work I can do is still limited if I only have my phone versus having like my full-on laptop and hard drive and planner and all of that with me. So as far as that goes, I actually do better with work-life balance because we're just out and about and adventuring, and a lot of times I'll leave my phone at home, so I can't work. I have to be present with whatever we're doing. And then when I'm home, it's like, okay, it's work mode. Whereas when we're in the US, I can work all the time and it's so hard to like put my phone down and stop working. So as far as health goes, we both really got quote unquote back on track through November and December of 2019. We certainly won't have access to weights most of the time, so to a weight room. And we're moving so fast this time with our travel that it will be a lot of body weight and band workouts and running, probably. Regardless, I would like to move more and be more active this time around than we were last time as a whole. There was a huge learning curve last time, but basically, if we didn't have a gym membership, there was a slim chance that I was working out. And I didn't really enjoy that. I felt out of tune with my body. It wasn't even that I wanted to like maintain musculature or anything. It was just that I felt like I didn't know my body anymore. And I realized that when I got back into the gym and was like, oh my gosh, I just miss moving my freaking body. So that is a huge goal this time. We will see if I can move more on this trip with a new perspective. And when we come home in summer for our break, we will be staying at my mom's house. That is actually where I'm recording this podcast right now. So when we're home for 3 to 4 months, we're at her house. Everything is already set up here so that when we come home, it's like we have a home. We do not own a home and didn't want to return to our old duplex that we had lived in. So that's the plan as of now. That is it. That is our 2020 travel itinerary and overall life update with babies and Nate and work-life balance and just some questions that I get on Instagram. So I wanted to address those here on the podcast. And the work-life balance through all of this, the adventure of the Millers. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, no big takeaways, but I think that it's fun to let y'all into the madness that is our life every once in a while. And today seemed like the perfect date to do that as we literally begin our 2020 travels. So thank you so much for listening and sticking with that, listening to it, and allowing me to share a piece of our life with you on a little bit more vulnerable level. Not a lot of value today, not inherently anyway, but if you do love the Fitspro podcast, head to iTunes and give your girl 5 stars and a written review. That is how we spread the good word, fam, that would normally be here talking business and fitness. You are the best. Until next time, I am Annie Miller, and thank you so much for tuning into the Fitspro podcast.